Hello, everyone. Welcome to Narcissism Recovery Podcast, produced by the Magnolia Healing Center. I'm your host, Yitz Epstein. In this podcast, we'll be delving into topics related to narcissistic abuse, codependency, childhood wounds, childhood trauma, mental illness, and all things narcissism. The purpose of this podcast is to bring widespread awareness and healing to the global epidemic of narcissism and codependency. It is my hopes that with this podcast, we can collectively create an environment of health and healing for you, the individual, and for the world at large. Let's begin. Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for joining me for today's episode. Today, we're going to be discussing the gift of holding space. So being able to hold space for someone when they are hurt, when they are struggling in life, and when they are working to unpack their deep wounds can be one of the most healing things that we can offer a person. Now, holding space can be difficult, especially if we ourselves are struggling, especially if we ourselves have wounds and triggers. Doing so requires patience, it requires safety, with the ability to offer safety, it requires selflessness, care, empathy, and unconditional acceptance. Now, when we do this for others, when we offer the gift of holding space, we are essentially giving a healing space, a space that that allows a person to really facilitate their healing process in a much quicker, much swifter, and a much more possible way. And that happens not only for others, but also for ourselves as well. We gain healing through offering space as well. So in today's podcast episode, I want to discuss what it means to hold space. What does it mean to hold space for someone? We're going to discuss the benefits of holding space for someone, specifically on our healing journey. We're going to talk about some of the barriers to holding space, some of the issues that arise when attempting to hold space for somebody. And finally, how do we hold space for someone? I'm going to offer some tips on how we can hold space for someone who's struggling, especially in our intimate relationships. So to begin, what does it mean to hold space for someone? Holding space is essentially offering someone our time, our complete attention, a listening ear, and unconditional positive regard in order for them to express their pain and struggle. Holding space requires that we essentially put ourselves, our own personal needs, our ego, our interests to the side and use this space, this time, to offer a safe environment for another person to share whatever it is that they're struggling with, whatever it is that is going on in their lives. It's a place where we don't look to solve another person's problems necessarily. We're not necessarily guiding or offering insights. Of course, if the individual who's struggling wants that, we can certainly offer that. But this is simply a place to offer ourselves, our presence to another person, being fully present in the moment with the intention to simply be emotionally available and to show support. Now, when we hold space for somebody, we are giving them the space and the permission to unpack their own inner chaos, their insecurities, their deep heartaches, their heartbreaks, their emotional pain, and to let go of whatever it is that they're holding on to, they're attached to in fear, and that's weighing them down. Now, when it comes to the healing journey, when someone holds space for us, when we have space held for us, someone who has the ability to offer us a container that is safe and does so in a way that they express them, that we're able to express ourselves, and a person who can do this with patience, with sensitivity, with self-awareness, with presence, with grace, with selflessness, and who is fully emotionally available, this can bring remarkable healing. This can really facilitate healing in a major way. Now, holding space allows us to be open, to be vulnerable, and authentically ourselves. When we open up to another person who themselves is authentic, vulnerable, and open, this creates a sort of connection, an intimacy. Now, because human connection, more specifically intimacy, is so vital to the healing journey, it's very much intimacy that is healing us. In this healing container, where we are able to feel seen, cared for, accepted, validated, unconditionally loved, and ultimately more whole, we are fully connected, and that connection facilitates healing. Now, holding space for someone creates a necessary connection, transparency, where victims are no longer going to feel so alone, ashamed, they're not going to feel so rejected, judged, and abandoned. And as a result of this, victims of abuse who are usually very highly defended, very highly protected, living in fear of being, let's say, hurt again, are much more willing to let their guard down and be open and share themselves, share parts of themselves that, let's say, they have hid from themselves or other people, usually in shame. Now, when we feel that someone sees us for who we are, They see all our messiness, all our shame, all our unresolved past, and then they accept us unconditionally, regardless of how uncomfortable that is, or how messy we look, or how messy we show up, or how unlovable we feel. We begin to shift the way that we see ourselves. We begin to shift the way with in which we relate to our, let's say, past or our traumas. And this shift in relation to ourselves causes us to change the way that we treat ourselves. And we begin to offer ourselves grace, compassion, empathy, that we validate ourselves, we accept ourselves, and we love ourselves unconditionally. And then we become essentially our own healer. And this is one of the most profoundly healing things we can do. So now let's discuss some of the barriers that we may run into when holding space. Now, holding space is not an easy thing to do by any stretch. This is especially the case if we have never had somebody hold space for us. We may not know what it feels like. We may not know what it looks like to hold space for someone until we experience it, until we're shown it, and we're able to have firsthand experience with it. That being said, holding space is certainly a life skill that can be learned via continuous practice. Now, the first major barrier to holding space is the ego. So the ego has a very difficult time putting itself to the side and putting its needs to the side for somebody else's needs. The ego has a difficult time letting, let's say, somebody else be the center of attention, and usually pushes back against any type of selflessness. You can say that the ego is very self-centered, egocentric. In addition, the ego, which has a hard time not being in control, is going to have a difficult time letting go and ultimately being present in the moment, in the unknown. Right? The ego, in an attempt to maintain control, will resist that letting go of, let's say, trying to fix another person's problems, or just simply trying to get out of the discomfort of being in the moment and be a listening ear. This is a very difficult thing for the ego. The next pitfall to holding space is being able to listen just for the sake of listening. Many of us listen to respond. We listen long enough, and while the other person is talking, we are busy trying to figure out what we want to say in response, because obviously what we're thinking feels more interesting. We're very much preparing what we are going to say in response, and rarely do we take the time to simply listen. So this is counter to the nature of let's say, the ego. And so when we practice listening to simply listen, that is an invaluable life skill that allows the other person to know that we're not just being there for ourselves, or not just there to just respond in what we want to say, but rather we are there to be a voice, be a listening ear. Next, holding space for another person and their vulnerabilities, their humanness, their imperfect self, let's say, it forces us to face our own fragility of being a human. And being empathic towards, let's say, someone's struggle, in many ways, demands that we put ourselves in their shoes in order to see their struggle as our own. And this is not an easy thing to do. Doing so, it takes humility, it takes deep and honest self-reflection, and certainly not easy or comfortable to do at times. So being able to go into that discomfort of having true empathy for another person and seeing ourselves in them, or them in ourselves, really allows us to connect to them on that level. And that connection to them on that level is essentially the necessary intimacy that pulls them out of their darkness. So in essence, joining them in their darkness is not an easy thing to do, but it's through that connection in their darkness that allows them to feel seen, to feel connected, and ultimately like we are holding space for them. Now, the next pitfall is taking things personally. Very often when we are holding space for another person, they're sharing their struggles. And when others, let's say, share their opinions or their deep thoughts, we may feel that if they differ from ours, that we need to right them, or we need to correct them. We need, let's say, defend our own viewpoints and perspectives. Doing so, however, is going to remove the necessary space to truly be there for them selflessly. And ultimately, it's not going to allow them to feel like they can share these deep insights or thoughts that, let's say, they hide from the world in shame. So offering space means continuously checking in with your own personal biases and opinions, and then suspending them and doing what you can to push them to the side while another person shares their experiences, and ultimately not judging based on their viewpoints. And finally, holding space can be very challenging, especially when someone is projecting their traumas or unresolved past onto you. They may act out towards you, making you into someone you're not. This is what happens when we are in the process of projecting. Now, perhaps they are projecting a past, let's say, abusive parent or partner onto you. In psychology, this is known as transference. This is something that therapists very often experience. The client projects a past partner or a past abuser onto the therapist. So if you're holding space for someone and you're not aware of this dynamics and the projection that's going on, you may take on that projection, let's say act it out or take it personally, get defensive when someone does this. So holding space will very often have you being blamed for something that you might not have done, especially if you are triggering someone's unresolved conflicts or wounding experiences of the past. So in this way, holding space can have potential pitfalls and dangers and difficulties that require us to take the steps to protect ourselves, to understand when this dynamics is occurring, and ultimately set appropriate boundaries, communicate that boundaries, so you're not pulled into someone else's world and negatively impacted by their experiences. Now, when it comes to intimate relationships, being able to hold space for our partner and vice versa will be the difference maker between a relationship that is sustainable, that lasts, and ultimately one that breaks down. So in order for intimacy to occur, both partners need to feel like there is a safe and comfortable environment to share themselves entirely within the relationship. So being able to hold space for our partner will assure that when their wounds or their deep rejected elements of themselves get triggered and activated and pulled up to the surface for healing, it is a safe environment to do so. Now, when couples offer this to each other, it can be extremely powerfully healing, because in many ways, these deep parts of ourselves are hidden until somebody activates them or triggers them. And when our intimate partner triggers them, or let's say they do it accidentally, many times that is the case. Then when it comes up for healing, if our partner can hold space for us, then it allows us to integrate that part of ourselves, that rejected element of self, into our sense of self to become more and more whole. This is something, when partners do this for each other, this is something I refer to as a healing relationship. Now, it takes a ton of patience to hold space for our partners when they are hurt, when they are reactive, when they are triggered. This is especially the case if their hurts and frustrations are caused by, let's say, something we did, even if it's unintentional. It's so common that when our partners need space from us, and let's say we are the cause of their hurts and they need us to hold space, that we get defensive, because in essence, we are being told that we, let's say, did something wrong, and it activates our own shame or our own critic. In this instance, when we get defensive, we are very often looking to protect ourselves from the guilt and shame, as well as that negative criticism we have towards ourselves. So we don't want to hear our partner's criticism or feedback about our behavior, because ultimately that's going to make us feel critical about ourselves and or shame, and then we get defensive. So when we do get defensive in this instance, we are not going to be offering space. We're not holding space. When we are in fight and flight and defending against our partner, in reality, it's an attempt to protect ourselves from feeling the shame and guilt and our own shame and guilt, and that blocks the ability for our partner to feel safe to express himself. So in this instance, which is all too common in intimate relationships, we end up creating the lack of safety, because by defending against our own shame and guilt, we are also blocking our partner's ability to express themselves, and we're blocking their energy flow, and as a result, we are not holding space for them. And experiences like this usually end up in chaos. They end up in fights where both partners are attempting to be heard and validated, and no one ends up getting their need for validation and intimacy and met, because there's a lack of safety. So relationships like this very often end in gridlock, where there's just fighting, and what the couple is fighting about, let's say, it continuously changes, but ultimately it's the same fight. It's the inability to feel safe. And with this lack of space holding, it's going to erode the bedrock of intimacy, and relationships like this usually end up breaking down. One of the biggest and most common mistakes that we make in our intimate relationships is trying to change our partner. Trying to change our partner is essentially sending a message that we are not going to accept them as they are, and that we will only accept and love them if they are a certain way, if they show up as we want them to show up, if they play the role in our life that makes us, let's say, feel good or stroke our ego, or like, let's say, do away with certain traits that we don't like. Trying to change our partner, or trying to change anybody for that matter, is simply not possible, because even if we are going to succeed in manipulating our partner to change, our partner's changes are based on our manipulation or fear. It's not necessarily a choice, and therefore it's not true change. Eventually, if we do manipulate someone to change and they do change for us, they will go back to their original baseline of where they're holding within their own life. And in addition, trying to change our partner essentially is a reflection of our struggle to accept our partner as they are, but also accept ourselves and others as they are. Ironically, it's when we accept people as they are, then they are going to feel seen. You know, when we hold space for somebody and accept them as they are, they feel validated, loved, and safe. And when a person feels this way, then they are going to grow, and they are going to become the best version of themselves. And essentially, that is the point of an intimate relationship, to hold space for each other, saying, I accept you as you are, right? You are loved and perfect and are not in need of change in order to get love, in order for this relationship to work. And this message creates a sense of acceptance and safety. And this message is paramount in establishing the proper foundation for long lasting and sustainable intimacy. Now, many relationships struggle to connect intimately, specifically sexually. And here's the thing about holding space for partners when it comes to sexuality, sexual intimacy, particularly sexual energy. So energy, particularly sexual energy, is going to move when we feel comfortable and safe. If we do not feel comfortable and safe, then our sexual energy cannot flow. So in intimate relationships, holding space for our partners is going to naturally improve the sexual intimacy because the sexual energy can now flow and then be exchanged back and forth with more ease. Now, by this same token, many conflicts in relationships that on the surface seem petty are often these unresolved issues, and at the core are the inability to exchange sexual energy because there's a lack of safety, and ultimately partners do not feel comfortable and being vulnerable with each other. So hostile relationships that feel unsafe are going to, in essence, struggle to get that sexual energy moving, and as a result of that, it's going to lead to blockages in sexual intimacy. And relationships where there are sexual dysfunctions, let's say there's acting out sexually, or there's a lack of sexual intimacy, are usually suffering from this inability to feel safe enough in the relationship, and that safety, because it's not there, it's not going to allow that flow, and therefore the necessary sexual energetic exchange, which ultimately affects our ability to be connected to our partner, specifically sexually. Now, intimate relationships can be one of the most difficult things we ever experience. They can also be arguably the most fulfilling thing that we go through. So in our intimate relationships, what we are challenged continuously to do is to develop life skills, to be able to hold space, to have humility and the patience as well as grace to hold space for our partners even when they are doing things that, let's say, trigger us or upset us that we don't approve of. In this instance, what we very often want to do is defend our ego, defend our rightness. And when we suspend ourselves and realize that holding space is not about us, but rather it's our ability to give our presence, give our safe environment, give our heart, in essence, to our partner, listen, be sensitive, be empathic, be emotionally available, have compassion, and allow our partner to experience whatever it is that they are experiencing with full acceptance. This will go a long way in resolving the barriers that show up in our intimate relationships. And when those barriers are removed, ultimately closeness and intimacy can occur. So to hold space for our partner is essentially to assist them in growing to their full potential and self-actualizing. It's assisting them in feeling accepted and safe enough to unpack whatever it is they're going through or whatever it is they've gone through and ultimately resolve the past, let go of it. It is essentially being there for them in a way that they struggle to, let's say, be there for themselves. And it's offering them this gift that by offering them this presence and this safety, they will then hopefully offer that to themselves. And this is how we set a person free from the past, from their pain, from their traumas. And this is a timeless gift. And perhaps you can argue this is the most fundamental way of loving another person. To love someone that we care for and to love someone is to essentially hold space for them. Now, one of the most fascinating things about holding space is that when we offer this gift to another person, we are also offering this gift to ourselves because we are very much a part of this space that we are holding. So by giving the gift of a compassionate, safe, and caring space and being present for another person, we are included in that space of powerful transformation and healing. And in this way, by giving, we are also receiving. By giving the gift of presence and love and holding space and care for another person, we ourselves are offering that to ourselves. And as a result, we get healing as well. So to finish off, you know, when we are traumatized and wounded in childhood, what happens is that part of our energy field gets stuck in the experience. You could say that our energy is there. You could say that we, on some level, are still in that experience. And this is a result of, let's say, the lack of safety and the lack of care from superiors and not being, let's say, validated in our helplessness, not having somebody hold space for us in our pain. So in our current day, when we defend against experiences of pain that we've gone through and we deny and defend against, we are continuously denying this energy from being in our conscious awareness, from being reawakened. We are pushing it down. We are keeping it stuck, let's say repressing it into the subconscious mind. Now, this trapped energy is going to cause all sorts of issues in our current day, and oftentimes it's controlling the way we think, what we yearn for, what we're attracted to, what we attract into our lives. And this trapped energy is often the source of our inner dis-ease, our chaotic lives, our dysfunctional relationships, and our addictions. And definitely many of the decisions that we make on a continuous basis. So healing has everything to do with freeing this energy. It has to do with bringing this trapped energy to the surface and processing the unresolved emotions and integrating the energy into our present moment experience so that it's no longer trapped in the past. So when we are on a healing journey, having someone who holds space for us, it's going to activate the emotions that are stuck in the past. It's going to offer the necessary safety for that energy to start to move. And this is where a trusted, let's say, healer, coach, therapist, a guru can be invaluable in offering that space to work through these unresolved trapped energies. And when we have somebody hold space for us, in essence, what they're doing is showing us how to hold space for ourselves. And holding space for ourselves is where we are the present, safe, and unconditionally accepting and loving self. We act as the healer to ourselves, or the parent to our inner child, and we offer patience, compassion, acceptance, presence, validation, and unconditional love. These energies that are trapped can begin to trust again and ultimately untrap themselves, so to speak, and then they will be integrated. In this way, we essentially have the ability to give ourselves the gift of holding space and then facilitate the necessary healing environment to become whole and truly be our own healer, truly heal ourselves. So if you are struggling to heal and you feel like the world is an unsafe place, then having somebody hold space for you can be a game changer, because it's not so much that the world is an unsafe place, it's that we don't feel safe in our own world. And many times that's because our inner world is the similar world that we were raised in. It's chaotic and ultimately not at peace and ultimately not a place of safety. So in many instances, we very much will benefit from having somebody hold space for us to learn how to hold space for ourselves. If this is something that you are looking to accomplish, it would be an honor to hold space for you and allow you to experience, but also learn how to hold space for yourself so you can be your own healer and become whole, integrate all those energies of the past to truly become the most whole, present, authentic, and healed version of yourself. This is something you're interested in. It'd be an honor to work with you. Feel free to reach out to me directly. My email is yitz@magnoliahealingcenter.com. You can reach me by phone, 818-210-6049. Thank you all so very much for joining me for today's episode. Until next time, all the best.